Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Burness. My co-host Ezra Benjamin is with me again today as we open a discussion on whether or not the church is ready for the return of the Messiah. Let me ask you, are you ready for the Messiah to return? Because he is coming back, and I believe he's coming back soon. Now, here's another question. Would Jesus even recognize the church as it is today? Ezra, you have a lot to say about this, and I want you to unpack this because you've been giving this a lot of thought. So
I have.
Take it away.
You know, and the core thought, really, Jonathan, is I'm realizing more and more as I read Romans and read the Old Testament and the New Testament alike that what we don't always give a lot of emphasis to, and we should, is that the fullness of the Gentiles, or God's full heart and plans for believers from every nation, is inextricably linked to this other scriptural promise of the salvation of all Israel. And here at Jewish Voice Ministries, we're committed for 55 years and counting now to reaching Jewish people and their neighbors with the gospel.
Yeah, let's reference this so people understand the context.
Romans 11:26.
Yeah, let's put it up because this is an important point. The fullness of the Gentiles.
Right.
It actually says here that the blindness will come off of the eyes of the Jewish people.
That's right.
Which presupposes that God has not finished with the Jewish people or replaced
Absolutely.
Them, that the blindness will come off of their eyes. So there's a spiritual blindness covering their eyes now that keep them from recognizing who Jesus is, that mm-hmm. he's the Jewish Messiah. Mm-hmm. And it connects it to the fullness of the Gentiles coming in.
That's right.
What does that mean?
That's right. Well, I think, you know, the word there in the Greek, in the language that this book to the Romans was written in, is pleroma. And it doesn't mean a numeric fullness. You know, sometimes we get the wrong idea, right? And it's like God's up in heaven with one of those amusement park clickers. And when he gets to the right click for the Gentiles, okay, now it's time to deal with Israel to save the Jewish people. That's not the idea.
But it's very commonly understood that
it
way.
Is.
And several translations say the full number.
Right. But if we look at the Greek word, what it really means is almost, if you can envision like a cornucopia, a full abundance. Now, there's a quantitative factor to it as well, but what Paul's really saying is when the full abundance of God's heart and plans for the nations, right? Because God so loved the world, Jew and Gentile alike, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when the fullness, the full abundance of God's heart and intentions for the nations, in essence, a remnant of believers from every people, tribe, and tongue, is realized, then we get to this point where we see the full realization of God's heart for Israel, which, as Paul shares, is that they might be saved, that they might come to the knowledge of Jesus.
I want to come back to this idea of abundance and have you unpack that more.
Sure.
How does that connect to someone watching right now that heard us say when we started the program, mm-hmm. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready?
Well, let me ask you a question. We'll look eye to eye for a minute. Do you care about the return of Jesus? And of course the answer, I hope you're standing up from your sofa and saying, absolutely, of course I do. You know, I'm giving my life to see Jesus come back in my lifetime. Amen. But what we need to look at scripturally, and Jonathan, what we spend so much time on this program unpacking is, what does it take for that to happen? Right? There's some things scripturally, Old Testament and New Testament, the prophets saw it, Jesus confirmed it, Paul talked about it in his letters, some things that need to be true before Jesus is coming back, coming that second time to rule and reign. One of them is we know that the gospel has to be proclaimed to all nations, right? We know that a time of intense trial and tribulation has to come. But there's also this element of the fullness of the Gentiles and an increasing testimony of salvation among the Jewish people. These things have to happen before the return of Jesus. And a real challenging question is, you know, we know that God's omniscient, he's omnipotent, right? He's very aware of the state of his people, of the state of Israel and of the state of the church. But if Jesus somehow, after he ascended to be with the Father, disappeared for 2,000 years and came back today, would he recognize what he saw in the, if you will, the ecclesia, the body of believers worldwide? And I think, Jonathan, Paul's dealing with that in Romans. We're going to spend the balance of our time looking at Romans 11 today on this idea as the majority of believers in the known world midway through the first century are no longer Jewish, they're Gentile. And Paul's speaking to a predominantly Gentile audience in the book of Romans saying, make no mistake, though you're now the majority, I want to talk to you about this olive tree whose root is Israel.
This is such an important topic because it's connected to you.
That's right.
If you want to see Jesus return.
That's right.
Ezra, I think we get so distracted in the body looking at the sign of the times as all of the negative things that are going to happen.
Right.
The growth of wickedness, natural disasters, the emergence of the Antichrist, and so on, the mark of the beast. Instead of focusing on what God wants to do with his people in the midst of darkness,
amen,
he wants activity to take place within the body. In other words, we get brighter and brighter and brighter, and
that's
part
right.
of that is what you're talking about here.
That's right, that's right.
This abundance, this fullness.
Right, it's almost like in every generation, we want to see more fruit being put in the cornucopia of the fullness of what God wants to do among Israel and among the nations. And you're absolutely right. I mean, is there a place to understand that difficult times are ahead and to understand that there's trial and tribulation in the world and increasing opposition against the message of Jesus? Yes. But if we camp only there, we're missing what Paul was pointing to, what the prophets saw, is that the kingdom of God, though it begins as a mustard seed, is going to get bigger and bigger and brighter and more powerful, and God's people, Jew and Gentile alike, are going to walk in increasing levels of victory.
That's what we should be focusing on. Listen, I understand that we need to operate as if the end is near. I understand that we need to understand the times,
yeah,
but God has a destiny for you and a destiny for the church, and that is to grow in power, grow in authority, grow in abundance and fulfill a destiny that he's ordained for us as a people before the foundation of the world.
Jonathan, it's easy to become consumed with the news, whatever brand of news you subscribe to, and all of a sudden the world looks like a very dark place. And in many ways it is, but that's not our calling as believers, is to live in this kind of defeatist, well, that's just the way it's going to be, and you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket and there's nothing we can do about it but come, Lord Jesus. Our calling as believers is to manifest the victory and the authority we have in God to bring the kingdom of God to bear here.
Yeah, this is not a rescue mission. Let me ask you, are you watching the news or are you watching the good news? Are you reading the news or are you reading the good news?
That's right.
We should be consumed with the good news because, Ezra, there is good news.
Yeah.
Talk more about the church and as a victorious church in the midst of darkness.
Two passages I'm thinking of, Jonathan. The first, the Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And I feel like right now, maybe you can relate, watching the news, reading the headlines, you know, wherever you're at on Google, there's this push for God's people, Jonathan, in the Jewish believing community and believers from every community to be overcome, right? To be flooded, to be overwhelmed with bad news.
Yep.
But the scriptures are very clear. Don't be. Overcome it with good. And if the scriptures are commanding us to overcome evil with good, then therein lies a promise that we actually can. And maybe you forgot that. I forgot that for a season. And it gets pretty depressing when we forget that we can actually overcome evil with good. And the other passage I was thinking of is Yeshua, Jesus saying to his followers, and he's about to be crucified. I mean, the darkest hours in history lie ahead for Jesus. And in the midst of this, he says to his followers, to his closest followers, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, right? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. It's a very Jewish
beautiful
argument. If it weren't that way, I wouldn't say it.
But think about the context. The whole context is a culture that is subjugated to Rome.
Right.
Right? That on a daily basis, people are being killed. On a daily basis, people are being forbidden from practicing their faith. They're overwhelmed with taxes. This is not a good scenario in the midst of that. breaks forth the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. And it's a battle. I mean, it's intense language. Jesus is commanding his followers. He's commanding you and me, don't allow your heart to be troubled. Don't let the anxiety, the defeatist, the fatalistic view that the world's trying to overwhelm us with, don't allow that to be your narrative. Overcome that with good. Trust in the Father. Trust also in me, because I'm up to good things.
Hey, when we come back, I want to talk specifically about what the church looks like.
Right.
And what would it look like to the Jewish Messiah, and what would be, say, out of line, out of context mm-hmm. with what mm-hmm. he mm-hmm. left behind.
Right.
We need to take a short break as our announcer comes to tell you about an incredible opportunity to support Jewish Voice outreaches. Your giving today, in addition to supporting our medical outreaches, our clean water program, so many other outreaches, will also help us in supporting new congregations of Jewish believers and their neighbors in Africa, and they're growing every day. Please consider what you can do to provide the funds needed to keep these vital ministries alive and growing, because they are growing with your help. Don't go away. Ezra and I will be right back.
From the discussion today, you can see why understanding the details in Scripture is so important in knowing your role as a believer during this critical moment in history. Jonathan's book, A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days, offers a unique perspective of the end times from the viewpoint of a messianic believer and scholar. As you support Jewish Voice Outreaches with a one-time gift of $40, you'll receive this updated hardcover edition. We'll also include this beautiful mezuzah to place on the doorpost of your home. It's a wonderful visual reminder of your faith and of God's promise of protection over you and your family. Would you consider joining Jonathan and Jewish Voice as a new monthly Shalom partner? As you make an ongoing commitment with a gift of just $30 today, we'll include this beautifully woven Afghan throw, boldly declaring the words of Psalm 122. It will be a constant reminder in your home of your commitment to Israel and the Jewish people. Make sure to request the Engaging Believers Package when you contact us today. Call the 800 number on the screen and let our representative know which level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. You can also donate by mailing your gift to the address on the screen. Thank you for your generous support of Jewish Voice. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
Welcome back to the program. I'm about to ask Ezra the question, would the Messiah, would Jesus recognize the church today if he came back? What's different than it was in the first century? Before we get into that discussion, though, I want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to all of you who are supporting Jewish Voice. Honestly, we could not do this work without you. Our ministry is about reaching the lost, reaching Jewish people with the gospel, and providing the care they need through medical care, clean water, anything they need to show them that we love them. And you can be part of that on a monthly basis. So thank you for those who are monthly Shalom partners. And please know your ongoing support to this ministry is valued, greatly valued. Ezra, take it away. Talk to us about how the church differs
sure.
from the expectation that Jesus may have
right.
as a Jew returning.
Well, I want to spend the balance of our time, Jonathan, looking at what Paul has to say about that. And he uses this image, maybe it's a bit mysterious for you as you read it, this image of an olive tree. And it's in Romans 11. We quoted a few minutes ago Romans 11:26, and we've been talking about this abundance, right? This increasing authority and victory and power and confidence that the ecclesia, the body of believers, Jew and Gentile alike, is to have this fullness, this full abundance, almost like a cornucopia. But there's another fullness using a different word in the Greek that I want to look at, and it has everything to do with what Paul was telling these predominantly non-Jewish believers in Rome that the body of believers, the church, if you will, needed to look like. Paul was very clear on this, and he uses the picture of an olive tree. So I want to back up in Romans chapter 11, and let's look at verse 16 and 17 here. It says, Paul says to the Roman believers, if the first fruit is holy, so is the whole batch of dough, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became a partaker of the root of the olive tree with its richness, don't boast against the branches. But if you do boast, it's not you who support the root, but the root supports you. And Jonathan, the word there in Greek for richness is literally like a fatness. So Paul's saying to these non-Jewish believers, understand that Jesus didn't show up on the scene and invent a new religion called Christianity. Jesus showed up on the scene as the one who came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel and the Savior of the whole world, the ultimate sacrificial love expression of the Father planned before time began. And he's inviting non-Jewish people into a tree whose fatness is God's history with Israel and the Jewish people.
So Ezra, these are Christians. Gentile Christians.
Yes.
Who are being told by Paul that you have become partakers of the fatness, meaning the blessings, as I understand it, right?
That's right.
That are passed down through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
This abundance, and what are those blessings? It's covenant promises. It's God's promise that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's his promise that I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. It's his promise that every promise I make to you, I'm going to keep because I'm the ultimate promise keeper. It's his promise that though you sold yourself for nothing into sin, without money I've redeemed you. By the blood of my son I've redeemed you, and I'm inviting you as a son or daughter into my kingdom. And we could go on and on.
So it's the basis for the promises of healing and deliverance and provision.
Provision,
right?
Protection.
All of these things are inherited promises.
That's right.
For Christians now. And I think of Ephesians, you were at one time afar off.
Right.
Strangers and aliens. Now you've been brought into this commonwealth.
That's right.
Not to replace them.
Right.
Right. You're not a replacement for the Jewish people, but you've been grafted into that. I love that, to this fat.
To the fatness, that fat.
To this
root.
Nourishment.
Right, and very practically, right? Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. You can do nothing apart from me. Paul's pulling on a similar agricultural idea here, right? If a branch gets proud and says, I don't need the root, that branch is going to die, though it's been grafted in. Into the fatness, into the abundance of this olive tree who's Israel. Paul's almost, Jonathan, he's warning this predominantly Gentile church, saying, don't forget the root that you've been grafted into.
It's amazing. This really predates what became historic replacement theology.
Exactly.
And yet Paul's giving the warning. He sees it ahead.
That's right.
And he says, don't boast against the natural branches.
That's right.
You're connected to them.
That's right.
That's
and
good.
I think, you know, what's interesting is a friend of ours, a mutual friend, says that the disciples, the apostles, probably could not have imagined a day when it wasn't understood in the body of believers that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, that he was a Jew, that he is a Jew, and that the first disciples were Jewish, and that the root of the olive tree was Jewish. And yet, Jonathan, over the centuries, that was somehow little by little stripped away. And it's almost like those wild olive branches got together and said, you know what, we don't want to be an olive tree. We want to be a fig tree. But that doesn't change the reality that the root is Israel.
So let me restate that. It was never in their mind. They never comprehended.
That's right.
A faith in Messiah that was separated from
God's
the culture and heritage
to Israel. And his history with Israel. That's exactly right.
That's good.
And it's almost, you know, Paul, of course, is full of the Spirit here. And I think as much as this was a message for the Roman church, it's a message for us today. Paul's saying, in essence, Paul's continuing to speak to the ecclesia, to the body today, saying, Jesus came first for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and don't forget the story and the history and the promises, and if you will, the people. Don't forget the people that you've been grafted into.
That's so good. Ezra, one example of disconnect.
Yeah.
Something that Jesus would say, would be surprised about. I mean, he's not surprised because he knows what's going on, but an example of misalignment.
Yeah, well, one is, and we hear this all the time, Jonathan, people say, well, if a Jewish person wants to convert to Christianity, they can, but otherwise they're cut off from God. Jesus never used the language convert to Christianity. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life promised by the forefathers, seen by Moses, seen by the prophets, come to me.
Ezra, this is so important. This is one of the reasons that Jewish Voice is on television.
That's right.
To tell people that the Jewish people haven't converted to another religion accepting
right.
Jesus. But in fact, in Acts 15, the question wasn't, how do we receive these Jewish believers and what can and can't they do? But is how do we receive, the question was, how do we receive those from the nations, Gentiles,
right.
that are
right.
coming into
right.
a Jewish faith.
That's exactly
which was still
right.
a Jewish faith.
Yeah, that
faith
council
that
in Jerusalem in Acts 15, right? The struggle of these Jewish leaders of, if you will, Jewish leaders of the church, Jewish leaders of the body of believers in the whole known world wasn't, you know, how do we package this thing so Jewish people will understand it's for them. Everybody understood Jesus came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The question was, what do we do with all these people not from Israel, not subject to those covenant commandments and the law of Moses, who were coming to faith in the Jewish Messiah?
They were stunned that the gospel had started to
right.
spread through
right.
signs and wonders to the nations. Now, that was always God's plan. Please, don't misread what
exactly.
we're saying. God so loves the world.
That's right.
But God has a plan, a redemptive plan.
That's right.
Ezra, what else? Give us one more example of misalignment
yeah.
where the church isn't the same picture
right.
or isn't recognizable to a Jewish person as part of their heritage.
Yeah, I think the idea, Jonathan, you know, Jesus said, I haven't come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill them, right? And until the heaven and the earth pass away, not the smallest stroke of a pen in the law of Moses is being nullified. And that's something also we tend to juxtapose, right? The Old Testament was the age of law, and the New Testament is the age of grace, and never the two shall meet. But Jesus had to die. We talk about this a lot. We'll talk about this on other programs. Jesus had to die because of what Moses and the prophets saw, because the wages of sin is death. This wasn't a Christian idea. This was a Jewish law. This was a Jewish principle universally for Jews and Gentiles alike. So Jesus was coming to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law that without the shedding of blood there can
that
be no forgiveness.
That is a whole program or two.
It should be.
Because you'd think he could just say you're forgiven.
That's right.
But he had to follow very specific guidelines that were established in the Mosaic Covenant.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. And so part of, you know, as we do, and I know you at home are looking toward the day when Jesus returns, you're praying for that. We need to understand that the ecclesia, the body of believers that Jesus is returning to, will understand and will operate in the fullness of a root who is Israel.
So much in here. We're just getting started, but we need to take a short break so we can share some information about the resources that we're making available this week. They'll actually help you understand the conversation. Make sure to stay with us, by the way, because in a few minutes we'll come back and we're going to join in prayer, in agreement with you for your needs and the needs of your family. God answers prayer. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
From the discussion today, you can see why understanding the details in Scripture is so important in knowing your role as a believer during this critical moment in history. Jonathan's book, A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days, offers a unique perspective of the end times from the viewpoint of a messianic believer and scholar. As you support Jewish Voice Outreaches with a one-time gift of $40, you'll receive this updated hardcover edition. We'll also include this beautiful mezuzah to place on the doorpost of your home. It's a wonderful visual reminder of your faith and of God's promise of protection over you and your family. Would you consider joining Jonathan and Jewish Voice as a new monthly Shalom partner? As you make an ongoing commitment with a gift of just $30 today, we'll include this beautifully woven Afghan throw, boldly declaring the words of Psalm 122. It will be a constant reminder in your home of your commitment to Israel and the Jewish people. Make sure to request the Engaging Believers Package when you contact us today. Call the 800 number on the screen and let our representative know which level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. You can also donate by mailing your gift to the address on the screen. Thank you for your generous support of Jewish Voice. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
We want to take the last moments to pray for you and the needs of your family. Listen, there is a blessing connected to blessing Israel that you can apply to your family, to the salvation of your family, to divine provision, to prosperity, actually, in the biblical sense, shalom, completion, wholeness. Ezra, all those promises are available. Would you lead us together? Because the Bible says where two or three agreed on earth is touching anything, it shall be done.
That's right. So just agree with us wherever you're watching today. Lord, we thank you that your word over us is abundance, is fullness. And we pray for and we invite your abundance and your fullness into the circumstances of our lives, yes, into the circumstances of our loved ones, those who are far from you, Lord. Would you overcome them with your merciful loving kindness and bring abundance and fullness into their lives? And Lord, we bless those watching today and thank you that you're not only giving a love for Jewish things, you're giving them by your Spirit a love for Jewish people as you explain, yes, the fullness of your heart's desire you, for Lord. Them. We pray these things in Yeshua's name.
Amen, amen. And I speak shalom into your life. I speak the peace of God that passes all understanding. I break the spirit of fear that's come into your home through all of the bad news, through the reports of this pandemic never coming to an end. I speak life and I speak the peace of God over you in the name of Yeshua, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to jewishvoice.tv. And there's so many helpful resources there. And you can send your prayer request on the website to us. We want you to know that we care for you, that we'll pray for your needs by name specifically, because we believe God loves you. He does, and he will hear your prayers. So thank you for your support of Jewish Voice around the world. And as I close the program, we want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, may they prosper who love thee. A special thanks to Ezra for joining me again today. And until next time, both of us wish you shalom, peace, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus. Hey, I want to make you aware of our new Jewish Voice mobile app. It's free. You just enter MyJVMI in your app store and then you download it onto your device. And I hope you'll do it today.